We're up to Peric Hay. I think last week we did it on Zoom. I can't remember who was... Yeah, we had some on Zoom, and I recorded it for anyone who wants that. But we're up to Peric Hay. So just to review, in Peric Daled was a very transformative, kind of pivotal, I should say, perhaps the better word, Peric. That was after he had, you know, spent all this time defining Torah Lishma, and that's the essence of learning for learning's sake. And he also distinguished between, you know, what he said is proving that Torah means Gufei Torah, Gemara, Halacha, as opposed to things like Yirah Shemayim, which are not, quote-unquote, Gufei Torah, and, you know, kind of lay down the law on that, but had a very, very critical pivot in Peric Daled, in which he pointed out that that's not to say that Yirah Shemayim, what you and I might call Musar, is a bad thing. On the contrary, it's absolutely necessary, and in fact, it's a prerequisite. It may not be Torah per se, but it is a prerequisite for Torah. And he marshaled, I won't review all of them now, but he marshaled quite a few proofs that basically all made that point. And the most powerful metaphor, the one that he's going to come back to here in Peric Hay, was the idea from the Pasuk of Yiras Hashem Hi Otzaro. The Yiras Shamayim is basically the way we transform ourselves into being a appropriate kli kibul, a receptacle for Torah. And he said, you know, if you pour, you know, who knows what, you know, iced tea or whatever into a pitcher, but as a whole, so it doesn't matter how much you pour, it's all going to fall out. It doesn't matter how much you learn, said Ruchaim Vlajner, if you have not made yourself into someone who can internalize and sustain Torah, so nothing is just a waste of time. You're just spinning your wheels. You're on the hamster wheel. So what is it that makes us into the kind of people that Hashem says, oh, you can keep the Torah that you learned. It won't just go right through you. So that, based on these psukim and other makorot that he quoted, midrashim and other things, was the idea of Yirah Shemayim. That's the otsar. And he had given that metaphor. You know, if you go out to the field, you pick all sorts of grain, but you know, there's no bottom to your basket. It's just empty. It's hollow. It'll fall right out. You get back home and you don't have any of the grain, even though you spent all that hour. Right, that was the thesis, you know, incredibly important. So he is picking up on and continuing that theme, Mashiach Higia, for here in Peric Hay. So we're perfect timing, Josh. I mean, you know, whatever. Ulefi erach gadol otzer yira asher haychin lo adam kein al zeh erach yuchal likanes lishtamer litkayem betochot tvor haTorah kefi asher yachazik otzero. So basically, he reiterates the last point I just made, which was the theme of the last perek, which is it's directly proportional, a 1-to-1 ratio. To the extent that you work on yourself, that you become a better person, you have your shamayim, that's the extent to which you will have the ability to be machzik, to be able to retain the Torah that you learn. Now again, just to be clear, he's not saying that it's enough to just learn your shamayim, because then that is not the same thing as learning Torah. That's then the thesis of the previous chapters. You can't just sit there and learn Musar all day and Machshava and Chasidus and whatever all day. That, from his perspective, that's not, you know, that would be not sufficient, to put it mildly. On the other hand, if you ignore it, then you won't be the kind of person who can be machzik the Torah that you do learn. So this is not saying he's not saying that if you do this, that's enough. But for all the time you're putting in, you'd like it to actually, you know, not go to waste. And how is it going to, you know, impact? So you could discuss with the Rebbe, how much time should I spend on Chazara? And there are all sorts of things you could be talking about. But those are all step two things, stage two things. A more basic thing is you need to be the kind of person that Hashem would want to give his Torah to. And that is the thesis that he's going to further develop now. And he actually, again, it's not a hugely conceptually novel chapter, but I think he's going to deepen it, and I think this next paragraph actually makes the metaphor even more moving, at least to me, again, especially speaking as a father. Ki ha'av, ha'machalek tevul levanav. Take a father, a loving parent, who wants to give, you know, whether you use the literal metaphor of tevuah, or it could be, you know, circa 2021, father has X amount of wealth or whatever, you know, you want to give to your children, whatever you have. It's the natural instinct, whatever you have materially, you know, some more, some less. You want to be able to share that with your children, with your grandchildren, etc. Hu mechalek v'nosein l'kol echad midas ha'tevuah kefi asher yachzik otzero shel haben asher hechin al zeh mikodem. However, says Ruchaim Vlajner, you can only, you know, you have to know your child. You can only give them things which they can actually maintain. And again, he's using literally the farmer metaphor. If you want to give your kids grain, you say, okay, come, you know, to the main house around 5 and I'll give you, you know, grain. And the kid comes with a little basket. The fact that the father wants to give a ton of grain, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much the father wants to give. If the child's got a little basket, he can only give him that much that he can carry. Right? That's the added kind of nuances. Sha'afim yirtza'av. And here, of course, the moving, I find this moving part of this paragraph, of course, is because here the av is Hashem. Hashem wants to give us the Torah. What do you think? He wants it up there? He needs it up there? Hashem's dying to give each and every one of us Torah. He wants you to have the Torah. But he can't make you show up with a basket big enough and sturdy enough to hold all the Torah he wants to give. That's up to you and I. Even if the father wants to give, yado petucha liyitein lo harbe, he's generous, he wants to give you all the Torah. Sisrei Torah, shas poskim, it's going to be there for you. Hashem wants to give it to you. But if the son just simply can't hold it, machmash ein otsaro gadol kol kach, he didn't bring a big enough basket, shiuchal lachazik yoter, he can't hold anymore. Gam av yevsher lo liten atay yoter. So obviously the father can't give him more anyway. The father would just be wasting it. It'd be going in the garbage. V'im lo hichin lo haben af otsar katan. And what would be worse, if the son only, you know, didn't even build a small otsar, gam av liten lo klal, then the father won't give him anything. Kemich ein lo makom shumar shit keim etzlo. So again, I'm sure one could think deeply and figure out some minor flaw in the mashal, but why would you do that? The mashal's powerful, and it's not breaking completely new ground from what we saw last week, but he's taking it that step further, which is you have to realize, you know, again, you don't have to be a chassid or even a neo-chassid, right? The implicit premise here is Hashem loves you. And Hashem wants to give you the Torah, like any loving parent wants to give their children the things that are the most valuable to them. But this is not like a lollipop. Or shall I say, maybe if you want to, you know, be more picayune about it, you know, I can't give you a lollipop if you're allergic or if you, you know, didn't do whatever is necessary to be able to, you know, ingest or whatever it is, that thing, right? It has to be a little bit of a partnership between what you yourself, and certain things that are less significant, you know, a parent could just give. But there are other things where it's not something you can force. It just won't stay. It's artificial. It'll be meaningless, right? You know, again, imagine, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe this is a mashal, you know, which, if my parents would want to do this for me, I would have been an exact example of this failure. But let's say the parents love, I don't know, classical music or something, right? And they're willing to spend all the money in the world to get you trained or to give you the tickets to the best operas and the best whatever, right? But if you don't develop the skills and the ability to appreciate that or to play this, they'd just be wasting their money. There'd be no point. So Hashem has all the stuff he wants to give you. There's this thing that's the most amazing thing, and he loves you, so why wouldn't he want to give it to you? But in the end, if you don't do what you need to do, and that is the Yirah Shemayim. Ken hu yitbarach shemo, yado psucho kav yochol hashpia tamid lekol ish me'am segulo, rov chachma ubin yasera. Hashem's heart, so to speak, his mind, his hand, is open, says Reb Chaim. He wants to give you everything. Everything. Shit kayim et somebody wants, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to waste it. He wants you to be able to maintain it, to sustain it. The yik shereim aluach libam, that it should be able to remain internalized. Lishtashay itam bavam la'olam ha'menucha v'talmudam biyadam. Right? This is like even more, a little bit dark, but I think he means this in a more elevated way. And that also said, after 120 years, when you go up to Shemayim, you'll have the Torah with you. Hashem wants to, he wants to hack in the base manager with you, Shomayla. Right? He wants to start screaming and, you know, are fighting over this, what the Rebbe mean, and making charts on the luach and, you know, figuring it out and calling on. But if you're going to show up, you know, empty-handed, you don't got game, right? So we have a limited amount of time. We have a master coach who wants to give you everything, but only you can make yourself a ra'ui to be able to machzik it, and that is the learning of Yirah Shemayim. Amnam, hadavar taloi lefi otzar ha'yir. So what's it all depend on, right? You got me, Reb Chaim, you got me, I want it. So what does it depend on? That's what we discussed last week. That's the Yirah Shemayim tikdam El Ha'adam, that has to precede. She'im heichin lo adam otzar gadol she'yirash Hashem tahora. If you prepare initially, preemptively, this otzar of Yirah Shemayim, kein Hashem yitain lo chachma tfuna brov shefa kavisha tachzik otzaro hakol afi godol otzaro. Hashem will give you as much as you can hold and as much as you can maintain. Now again, he has left out, and you know, I think you can't completely deny this. I assume he wouldn't. Obviously, you know, there's a factor of natural IQ and other such things, which he had a hand in also. But, okay, that notwithstanding, I think that, number one is, we're all much smarter than we realize. I mean, I think there's, you know, the science has already figured that out, right? We all use some incredibly small fraction of our brain. What is that, Josh? How much? Oh, come on, you know. You didn't read that encyclopedia article? Not yet. Not yet. So we all use some very small fraction. We're all much smarter than we actually use. We all use a very small percentage of our brain capacity. But I think there's a second point, which is that, you know, kind of a broader point, which he's not discussing directly, but I'll just throw it out there, that, you know, I think everyone agrees, and I think it's implicit in what he's saying, is that learning isn't only intellectual. I don't just mean because, like, you should be... I'm saying, like, in other words, given that we're dealing with something spiritual, you could be the smartest person and you could put in 10 hours in the base medrash, but you still need a certain level of hashkacha to be able to be successful in learning, right? There's the idea of davening for ruchnius. If it was just a input-output, you know, how smart I am plus how much time I learn equals how big of a talmid chacham I'll be, what, you know, you wouldn't, right? So we realize that all, just like in our parnasa or other material things, it's not just how smart we are or how hard we work, what college or what graduate school we go to. You still need Hashem to barech aleinu. You still need, you know, the bracha of that. We also have atachonin, right? We need Hashem to bless our efforts. So all of that is, I think, implicit and inherent in this whole thesis, which is, if you want to be the kind of person that Hashem wants to give the Torah to, so that is the Yiras Hashem Otsaro. Now, if you see here, there's a star there. Do you have a star? So you look on the bottom, he has like a footnote, and he has some extra makorot for the footnote, and I think they're nice, and they make a very interesting point here. He says, Ubzed, now that we understand this, we can understand what the Chazal say, Reish Perek HaRoa, in the beginning of the Perek HaRoa in Maseches Brachos, En Chash Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma El Mi Sheish Lo Sheish Bo Chachma. Right, sounds like a riddle. Hashem will only give Chachma to someone who has Chachma. What are you talking about? You know. So let's just finish the pasuk. The Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Shmos, Ubelev kol chacham lev, nasati chachma. Hashem's talking about the people who are going to work in the Mishkan, right? To all the people who have chachma, lev chachma, I gave chachma. So says Rav Chaim, and also he quotes a pasuk in the Sefer Daniel, Yohev chachma so lechachmimin, lechakimin. I'm going to give chachma to the smart people. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, lechor yipalei. Doesn't make any sense. Im kain, chachma rishona me'ayin timmatzei etzel ha'adam. If all of chachma is a gift, so it's circular. How do I get to the first step? Hashem will give you a gift. If you're a chacham, he'll give you more chachma. Well, how do I get the first chachma? Doesn't make any sense. Amnam ha'inyan ki katuv mefurash shegam yira nikras chachma. And that, the answer is that yira shamayim, which we have been establishing the last two chapters, is the prerequisite for chachma. Guess what? Says Ruchayim Volozhiner. I'll show you makoros, which yira shamayim itself is referred to as chachma. Where? So he says the pasuk in Iyov. For Yomer l'Adam, hein yiras Hashem, hi chachma. So you see, black and white, says Rechaim Volozhiner. Yiras Hashem is called chachma. Now, that pasuk is inexplicable. Now, I think when people talk about how difficult Sefer Iyov is, I don't think they were discussing this. But this is an underrated part of the challenge of learning Iyov. If you just read that pasuk in a vacuum, what does that mean? I'm calling yiras Shamayim chachma. You know, I'm not being mezalzel. I have great respect for your shemaim and musar, but it's not chachma. You know, they're different things, aren't they? So he says, no, now you understand. Humi tamanal. But based on everything we're saying, you can understand. She otsaro hatov shel chachma. Shetish tamer, excuse me. Vetit kayemba. What the pasuk is referring to, what all these psukim and the gemaras are referring to, is given that you simply cannot maintain, sustain, obtain even any chachma without yiras shamayim, it's functionally the equivalent. It's a necessary ingredient. You simply cannot have it without it. And therefore, that's what the Navi or these Gemaras refer to when they talk about yiras shamayim being chachma. It's referring metaphorically to the idea that without the yiras shamayim, you cannot have the chachma. And he quotes another idea. And that's what he said from the Gemara. What does that mean? I'm going to give chachma to the chachamim. I'm going to give chachma to the people who have your shamayim. Because your shamayim is already a form of chachma. If you knew that there's something you need, and without that you could not achieve success in chachma, you're a chacham if you obtain it. It's not a chacham if you don't. So you're already a chacham before you've learned anything if you've made the decision to invest in your yira, understanding that that's a prerequisite to actually gain the actual tevua, the actual substance of Torah. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, that calls Yerushalayim Chachma, and that's what the Gemara means when it says, I'll give to the Chachamim Chachma. How did I become a Chacham? The answer is no. It meant the first Chachma refers to the Yiras Shamayim that you have. And let's skip, you see here, Ubezeh Yuvan Gamkein. He has one more point where he mentions this as well. He says it seems to be a stira. Two very famous statements of the Gemara. On the one hand, the Gemara says, Ein lo l'kodesh baruch hu ela ba'olamo ela dalet amo shehalacha bilvad. Right? Whatever exactly that means, but it sounds like everything's halacha, everything's Gemara, everything's substance. Hashem's role in this world after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Gemara's talking about, is only the four cubits of halacha. And yet, later in Maseches Brachos, it says, Ein l'kodesh baruch hu be'beis gnozov ela otzer shel yiras shamayim bilvad. Now, the only thing Hashem keeps in his treasure house is yiras shamayim. Which one is more valuable? Which one is the single locus of Hashem? Yerushalayim or Torah? And of course, now we realize, what's the cost of Ashlishi? In a certain sense, it's synonymous. Ula devarenu be'emes hakol echad. It's all one. Chayin amru otzer so Yerushalayim adkan. There's an, and it says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, what a great diuk. Dafka, that second Gemara that he was raising as a potential contradiction, which talked about the centrality of Yerushalayim, Dafka referred to it as an Otsar. Hashem says, I have in my Otsar Yerushalayim. Well, of all words to pick, according to Chaim Volozhiner, that's the perfect word, because he's been saying last parak and this parak, Yerush Hashem, Otsaro. So it all comes together beautifully, says Chaim Volozhiner. Yerushalayim is not Chachma, but it's the prerequisite for Chachma. But because it's the prerequisite for Chachma, I can explain those two, three, or four isolated sources which seem to refer to it as Chachma, or in a more, you know, in a kind of a, you know, confusion-inducing riddle, seem to require you to be a Chacham in order to get Chachma. And the answer to all of this is no. Enechanami Yerushalayim is not Torah. It's not Chachma per se. There's something else even higher called Chachma, called Torah. But it's absolutely necessary as a prerequisite. And you know, you're a Chacham if you get it, because that will allow you to get Chachma. Any questions? I'm so clear. Amazing. Okay, so then if that's the case, we can maybe even finish in time for your early mincha. And we have only one more thing to do. If you go back up now, he quotes from a Zohar. Get your big boy shoes on. It's not such a hard Zohar. This is a small Zohar. There'll be other chapters where he has a lot more Zohar. This is one little Zohar in two paragraphs and we're done. Valze amara katuv. This is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. And what does the Zohar say about that pasuk? Very famous. Again, now this pasuk jumps, you know, got to jump out at you in light of what we've been learning. Like, how do you make, what's going on in this pasuk? Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. It's like right there. But the Zohar didn't know Chaim Volozhiner. So what does the Zohar say? Ukmevur b'hakdamas haZohar. What does the Zohar say in the introduction? I guess it's Rav Chisda, I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. Somebody, Reishchas, Pasach. He began. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. The pasuk says that the beginning of chachma, or the Reishis, the really question is how you translate Reishis, is Yiras Hashem. Says the Zohar, Haikra Hachimi Bayale. Sof Chachma, excuse me. It shouldn't say Reishis Chachma, it should say Soch Chachma. What does he mean by that? I think what the Zohar is asking is, I would have thought, and this is, you know, maybe it's wrong, maybe not even, but it certainly makes, it's not crazy. I would have thought, Sof Chachma Yiras Hashem. If I learn Torah, that will enable me to become the kind of person who will have Yiras Shamayim. I'm not saying that's not even true, but that's what we would have expected, right? That's not what it says. It doesn't say Sof, you know, Chachma Yiras Shamayim. It says Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So the Zohar is confused. What is going on? So the Zohar explains, Ella ihi reishis. No, what it means is, in one sense, maybe that's true in one sense, but in a different sense, Yerushalayim is the reishis of the chachma. In what sense? La al'a l'go darga de chachmasa ila. La al'a means to enter. Likanes, to enter. To enter into the darga of chachma, the highest chachma, how do you get into, how do you enter into the world of chachma? Tara kadma l'chachma ila yiras Hashem ihi. Tara, the shar, the gate. Kadma, the first gate. The first step, the first gate, the prerequisite for Chachmas Hashem, the shar harishon is Yiras Shamayim. So that's Adkan the Zohar. So the Zohar is bothered. What's that mean? Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem? Isn't Yiras Hashem the result of learning? I spent the year learning in the Beis Medrash, I'm steiging, and I come back and the people in my neighborhood said, oh, he flipped out. Right? So that's Sof Chachma Yiras Hashem, right? I spent a whole year learning, and now all of a sudden I'm frumer. Isn't that true? So how come the Pasuk says Reishis Chachma? The answer is it's a little bit circular. That is true. But what's also true is without a certain Nachshomen and Aminadav jump, you know, willingness to take the first step, walk out on the ledge and say, Hashem, I give myself to you even before all that Torah filled me up. I have the Yerushimayim, I have the Avas Hashem, I have that first, then you'll never get to second base. It's a fascinating thing, it's like a spiral staircase. You end up where you start, but on a higher level. You have to start with the Yerushimayim, that'll allow you to elevate with Torah, you'll round the bases, and you end up back where? With even more Yerushimayim, which can allow you to do more and more Torah, which can... That's mine, but I think it's true to what he said. Let's just finish up with 1 minute to go for you. Harei Mavur, Hagam Shehayira hi mitzvah achas, Vamru b'Yerushalmi shekol mitzvos einan shavos ladavar echad min haTorah. On the one hand, you could downplay Yerushimayim. Yerushimayim is but mere one mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. A lot of mitzvahs. Chesed's a mitzvah. Davening is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have Yerushimayim. It's only one. And on the other hand, doesn't the Yerushalmi say in Peah that all of the mitzvahs in the world, 612, can't outweigh the single mitzvah of Torah? So on the one hand, Torah is so much more important than Yerushimayim. Yes, that's true on one hand. Amnam, on the other hand, mitzvahs kenias hayira mimenu yitbarach harab himod. But you cannot underestimate how important Yerushimayim is. Mitzachi muchrachat l'ikar kiyum v'shimur haTorah. Because without it, you cannot get the first step, let alone shimur, to maintain, to hold on to the Torah itself. Ubilta gam nim eset chasasholam b'nei abriyod. Plus, he adds, and for good measure, without it, you're not going to be the kind of person that people will like. So you need to first, so as we take the plunge into the Yerushimayim, which will allow you to receive the Torah, if you put in the effort, but your effort will actually be successful, which will then hopefully reinvest and re-deepen your levels of Yerushimayim. That is the beautiful words of Reb Chaim Volozhiner here in Parakeh. Any questions? No, nothing. Okay. Fantastic.